Okay, we have a description of a bondservant's heart. And actually, it was described from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 17, where it said, a bondservant is one who served his Lord or her master because of the love that that master had showed, because of the love he or she had for him. So when you think about it, we love Jesus, why? Because he loved us first, you know, and because he loved us, we should now be a bondservant to him, where we want to just throw ourselves at his feet and just let him use our lives in any way he chooses. Because that's really what you see with Mary, right? When the angel of the Lord came to her, she was so open to what God wanted to do in her and through her. So what we see is the bondservant, also described in Deuteronomy, says that they gladly lived in the resources, the schedule, and the property of the master, since he or she had none of their own. So what you see is a bondservant basically saying, my life is not my own anymore. Whatever resources you have, I know that they're my resources, that you will provide for me, that you will. And don't we see that in the life of Mary, especially when Jesus was dying on the cross, he made sure she was going to be taken care of, right? It's so beautiful to see that he cared. You know what he says in his word, that he cares for widows and orphans? He does. He really does. So there's so many things that we saw in this study. But before I go to, I know I said we'll go to Luke, but when we look at Genesis 3, verse 15, and we heard this on church on Sunday, the promise that was made after Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, and God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your heel and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. What we see is when the angel of the Lord came to Mary in Luke chapter 1, we see the fulfillment of this prophecy that God was sending his son. He was sending his son into the world, but he was going to come through this vessel that was basically saying, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want to do, here I am. My body's not my own anymore. I mean, don't we see that in the scriptures where it says, when we come to Christ, our life's not our own anymore. Our bodies are not our own anymore. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we see this in Mary's life, that in Luke chapter 1, verse 25, I just want to read these words, read some of these verses here. It says, thus says the Lord, this is Luke 1, verse 25. Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among women. So if you remember, to be barren was considered a curse. And now God's looking with favor upon her, you know. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I don't know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And isn't that amazing? How would you have responded if an angel of the Lord appeared to you and told you that this was going to happen to you? How would you have responded? Because all Israel was waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting. I mean, from Malachi's prophecy, it was been about 400 years, they were waiting for the Messiah to come. So every young girl was hoping. And now the angel appears to you and says, you're going to bear the Son of God. She believed, right? Yes. Because what we see in verse 45, mm-hmm. is that blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord. She totally believed what this angel was saying to her and believed God to do in her what he had promised. And how many times do we wrestle with that? Really believing what God has said he is going to do. Really believing that he's able to fulfill what he has promised to us. We wrestle with that, don't we? We do. What Mary was learning, what we saw in our study, is that God is the only true promise keeper, and every promise he makes, he fulfills. Not a word from God is without power. Every word, every promise God speaks has power enough and power behind it to bring it to pass. And didn't we see that in Genesis 1 and 2? God said, and it was so. When God created, God said, and it was so. But why do we doubt him? When God has said, and it is so. Don't we wrestle with that? And what's amazing in verse 37, when she heard about Elizabeth, that she was pregnant, she says, for with God nothing will be impossible. She had a simple faith. With God, nothing's impossible. And the message is same today. With God, nothing is impossible. Because what God says, he does. That word nothing, interesting enough, in that context, for with God nothing is impossible, that word in Hebrew, the Greek, is rhema. Nothing is rhema. Which means something that's been uttered by a living voice, a thing spoken, a word, what one has said concerning some occurrence. So didn't God create something out of nothing? His word. Blessed is she that will believe there will be a performance, the King James Version says, of those things which were told her from the Lord. And that word performance is a completion of prophecy, a perfecting, a fulfillment, a accomplishment. The event verifies the promise, a consummation, an absolution. So Mary believed what this angel was telling her because she knew the prophecies. Remember, the Jewish people would pass down the word of God, read the prophecies, and they were all waiting for this Messiah to come. So when the angel came to her, she believed that God's word was going to be fulfilled. Because how many other promises were already fulfilled before this time? What about in our lives? How many promises have we seen fulfilled that God has spoken? Whether in the earth, and I know I brought this up before, Israel as a nation, Jesus the Messiah has come. He rose, he's seated at the right hand of the Father today. Everything that was foretold about him has come to pass. So why do we doubt? It's amazing that when this angel came to Mary, 4,000 years of promises going all the way back to Adam and Eve were all intersecting in the womb of this humble teenage girl. Isn't that amazing? 4,000 years. So you can understand why, when we then read Luke 1, verses 45 through 49, where Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." What great things has he done for you that your soul can make its boast in? I'm sure you have a list of things. Great things that he's done for you. Verse 50 said, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Don't we see that? His mercy is still extended in our generation. He has shown strength with his arm and scattered the proud in the imaginations of the heart. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And there you can see why Mary erupted in this praise. Because don't we, when we see who our God is and his promises being fulfilled, that's what should rise up in our heart too. We have our own song of praise going on, right? And sometimes when we gather together as a body, in between the songs, not only are we just worshiping the Lord through the songs, but in between the songs, sometimes we just erupt in our own personal love song, praise song to God. Because he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He extended mercy on me when I didn't deserve it. And what we see with Mary is God visited her. The Holy Spirit came to her and was forming Jesus in her. And how many times does the Holy Spirit want to do that in us? He wants to form Jesus in us and present him to a lost and dying world through our lives the same way, to a world that's dying, that people need to know this God, this Savior, this Deliverer, this Healer, the Great I Am, everything about him through our lives. So Mary said, hey, if this is, in my words, if this is what God wants to do through my life, here I am. Here I am. Use my body in that way. Use me in that way. He wants to use your body in that way to reveal Jesus through your life. Isn't that amazing that he could do that through the Holy Spirit? She believed. This promises God has made to us. He wants us to believe. Don't doubt. Because he keeps his word. And we see that. So Mary was a bondservant. In day one, what we were seeing, that she was learning how to trust in the promises of God through what was happening here. And then what we saw in day two, that a bondservant also trusts in the Lord in the places he leads. So what we see with that is, remember they had to leave where they were at because of the census in Luke 2. Came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So what we see is now they have to leave. But why did they have to leave where they were?
The king king was killing the babies.
The king was killing the babies. But what was happening really behind the scenes here? Prophecy was being fulfilled. Prophecy was being fulfilled. So she had a trust in the places the Lord was leading, that God had a plan in the places he was leading them to. That there was a fulfillment of prophecy that he wanted to bring forth in her life and in the earth, but they had to go. They had to go for the prophecy to be fulfilled. Otherwise, it would have cost their lives. And how many times, maybe, God's telling us, go. There's something I want to do. There's a fulfillment in my word I want to do. I came to seek and save those that are lost, right? Mm-hmm. But you got to go. You got to go. Being a bondservant meant being flexible in the places God takes us. I'm willing. Lord, what do you have for me now? Where do you want me to go? I mean, I think about Keisha. She went to Thailand, Cambodia. Her heart's open. Lord, what do you want to do? And now they're going to Puerto Rico in July for a missions trip, these two girls. We have to have hearts like that, not get comfortable, because God always wants to send us somewhere. And many times it doesn't make sense. She had to trust her husband. When he said, hey, you know what? I had a dream and an angel appeared to me and told me that we need to pack up and go. Really?
And it was like now. Like,
yes, now.
Like, was it a couple
don't
days?
Wait.
Like, pack up,
yeah,
go
now. But how many times the Lord might be telling us to do something or go somewhere and we want to figure it all out. What does this look like? And do I really have to go now? Or can I have some time? Or can you confirm it for me? I've already confirmed it for you in the Word of God. How many confirmations do you want? But we're like that, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how many times? I had some questions in the back of the paper there. Maybe our husbands are saying, or dads are saying, we're supposed to do this. I know we're supposed to go in this direction. But maybe you're saying, I'm not seeing it. I don't think we're supposed to go that way. But you do anyway. You submit anyway. And then you find out that God was really leading him. How do you think Mary maybe felt, knowing that God was leading her and that it was so that prophecy could be fulfilled that we read about out of Egypt, I called my son, and he shall be called a Nazarene. You know, how many prophecies like that we read, that Israel's ruler would be born in Bethlehem, but they had to travel to Bethlehem for him to be born there so that this can happen. And Jesus was born in the house of bread, which we've read, Jesus, the bread of life, was born in the house of bread and placed in a manger, which is a feeding trough. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world was born in a feeding trough, the bread of life for us. What would have happened if Mary said, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want you to use me in this way. Where would we all be today? If she said, no, you can't have my body. I don't want the Holy Spirit to be moving through my life or producing anything in my life that reflects Jesus. That's scary, to say no to the Lord in that way. God uses our circumstances, what we see with Joseph and Mary, that God uses our circumstances to accomplish his kingdom purposes in our lives, in our lives of others, and in the earth. And each time we take a step of faith, trusting in the promises of God from the Word of God, we grow in our knowledge of him, don't we? We get to know him in a greater way. He's able to reveal himself to us in a greater way. We see how faithful God is Every time we take that step of faith, he's leading in a way that we don't understand, but we see God is faithful. He meets us every step of the way that we take. We see his word doesn't return void in our lives either. That what he has said, he does. So what we see through that whole account, it was too much to try to read through everything, but it's interesting, the word study for that section under day two, a bondservant trusts in the Lord in the places he leads. The word study for God on page 172, the Greek word for God is theos, and it's rooted in the word theo, meaning to put in place. The idea being that whoever puts hints, I don't know, that's a typo, in place is by definition God. Whoever puts, I don't know what that was supposed to be. Does someone have the study to look it up on 172 and what that word's supposed to be? It says God is the placer not only in the lives of Mary and Joseph and Jesus, but also in our lives as well. You know, you think about all the people he puts in our pathway or circumstances he allows to come into our lives. You know, because there were certain people alive during that time in their pathway that were threatening their lives. But the circumstances, God was working in the midst of it. He was working. He was accomplishing his purposes through all that. Through all of that. So what we see is that in day three, a bondservant has to trust in God's purposes for their lives. Because when you remember back in Luke, remember when Simeon, you know, Mary had this revelation from the angel that came and said you were going to conceive and bear a son. But then Simeon had a prophecy what he was going to go through and what she was going to suffer as a result of that. So what we see is a bondservant trusts in the purposes of God. She had to trust God, you're going to bring good out of this. I don't even understand what this means, what he's saying to me right now, but I've got to trust that good's going to come out of it. And you think about as she saw her son dying on the cross, she had to believe good's going to come out of this. Good's going to come out of this. And what we see about Mary, one characteristic about her is that she pondered things in her heart. You know, we saw that two times, that she, things were being said to her, but she held on to them in her heart, and it meant to, when she pondered, was to carefully guard and keep all that was being said in her heart and her mind as a treasure chest, as a, something very precious. She brought them together and joined them with the other thoughts so she can carefully compare and reflect on all they meant. And have you ever had that? Where someone might say something to you that is filled with the Holy Spirit and God is speaking through them. And you really don't understand at that moment, why are they saying that to me? But you're taking it and just taking it in your heart and pondering it. I wonder what they meant by that. And then as you continue to seek the Lord, it starts to unfold. Right? It starts to unfold. This word to ponder is a beautiful picture that means of continually guarding something, knowing that it's valuable and wanting to get the full value for it, to think through, to get to the full meaning. And, you know, I can't even imagine what it was like for Mary to see her son grow up, because we read how he was in the temple right when he was 12 years old, and he told them, did you know I was about my father's business? And just revealing to her that I came for this purpose, to do the Father's will here on earth. And now she sees him touching different lives, you know, healing the sick, casting out demons, just feeding the hungry, healing the leper. I mean, so many miracles Jesus did. And yet, she sees him being arrested, you know, and just the condition he was. We had a glimpse of it, a little glimpse of it on Sunday when we saw some clips from the Passion. What was it like for her? Her heart must have felt like it was being ripped out to see her son there. So she had a trust. God's purposes, even though it doesn't make sense sometimes, right? When God is calling us to do or calling us to go, and sometimes it looks scary. Sometimes there is persecution, mockings from other believers. What are you doing with your life? Why are you getting rid of everything, selling everything? Or why are you doing this or the other thing? But yet you know, no, but this is your purpose for my life right now. It is your purpose for my life, and I'm going to trust you in it. And I'm going to trust you're going to bring good out of it. And I'm sure Mary had to do that many times, you know, when she was being moved in different directions with her husband, leading the way. An angel would appear to him and direct his steps. And I mean, Phyllis, how would you feel if Anthony came and said, an angel came to me last night in my dreams and said, we're leaving tomorrow to go to Africa. Africa. Right, but she had to trust the purposes of God. She had to trust it. I know he does. That's why I'm picking on you. Oh, boy. But then what we also saw in day four, she had a trust in the power of God, right? Because she watched her son now dying on a cross, and she had a trust, God, you're going to raise him from the dead. And not only that, but what we read in Acts chapter 1 was that in the upper room, who was up there? She was there, because Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit so you can be a witness for me. And she had to sit in that upper room with the others, believing that he was going to fulfill that word to her, that the power of God was going to come down upon them. And he did come down upon them, a taste of what God wants to do for us in a greater way. A taste. She had to believe. So what you see about Mary throughout her life, from the beginning when she conceived until the end when she was a widow now and her son died but he was resurrected again, was that she really had to put her faith in what God had said and trust him. And many times it was blind, but it wasn't blind because the word of God, prophecy, was being fulfilled. And how much more that we have God's word today from Genesis to Revelation that speaks to us. There's still plenty of other prophecies that still need to be fulfilled in the earth. Do we believe? How does God want to use you? Maybe to bring about some of those things that he has said. He wants to use your lives. You were created for his purposes. He wants to reveal Jesus through your life. He wants to empower you to be able to walk as he walked here on this earth. To a lost and dying world, that you would be a light. Jesus was the light that came into the world full of darkness. Has our world changed? It's still a world full of darkness. But if the Holy Spirit's living in you, the light of God is able to come forth in the midst of that darkness. See, because when Jesus here, he was the temple of God, a moving tabernacle of God. So anywhere he went, he brought the kingdom of heaven wherever he went. God wants to use you in that way. Wherever you go, he wants to bring the kingdom of heaven through your life to touch people's lives. That people would know that Jesus is alive. He's real today as he was when he walked here on earth. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. Not at all. So some of the questions that I had on the back of the handout, and this is just questions to ask yourself to look at. Do you ever wonder about what God is doing or why he's doing or what he's doing and the way he's doing it? I was like, okay, how do I write this? So have you ever questioned his timing? I mean, Israel was waiting all these years. You think they felt forsaken, abandoned? God, where are you? God, how long? And then the enemy, it's never going to happen. Might as well give up. Hath God really said? He's still saying it to this day in our ear. Hath God really said? Yes, God has said it. God has said. He is yes and amen. Or maybe how many times you've had to trust in the Lord. I've already alluded to this one. When he was leading your husband or dad in a certain direction, even though it didn't make any sense to you, especially when it went against what you thought he should do. Mm-hmm. Or how he should do something. Mary could have said, Joseph, I don't want to go to Egypt. What would have happened if she didn't go? I don't want to go to Bethlehem. I don't believe God is leading you. What would have happened if she would have told her husband that and just resisted? And then, as I shared earlier, when you're wrestling maybe, but when you did submit to his leadership, you saw God truly was leading him in the direction he desired for your life. I know some of you have testimony here of that. But you saw, wow, God, you were in that decision. Are you learning to trust in the Lord as Mary did in the places he's taken you? Wherever he's taken you, are you trusting the Lord for the next step? For his provision? Are you holding on to the promises of God along the way as he's leading you maybe into the unknown? Because many times when he leads, it's into the unknown. We're people, we want to know. And he's saying, just go. I don't want to show you everything. Because we'll ruin it. We'll ruin it if he shows us. And I know I've shared this with you all before. When we left Pure Life, Steve told us, Steve Gallagher, God's not going to show you the next step until you step out of the boat into the unknown. And then it'll unfold for you. And that's exactly how it happened, all of this. It wasn't until we got out where it wasn't comfortable that he began to unfold it and show us. And the same is true for you, for your lives. Are you learning how to ponder what God is saying in your heart like Mary did? And something that you can do is maybe write down the things that God is speaking to you through his word. Maybe in a service or maybe through another spirit-filled believer. Learn to ponder those things just as Mary did in your heart. Because what I found in my walk with the Lord and also in my marriage relationship, if I'm seeking the Lord about something and in the Word praying, then I get around other believers and they're speaking things and they don't know nothing that I'm wrestling with inside, but they're saying things, but it's lining up with things God's showing me in his word or when I'm in a quiet time or maybe in a service. And then if I go talk to my husband about it, what I find is God's showing him the same exact thing. So then I see, wow, we're on the same page here. So obviously this is what God wants us to do. For those of you that are married. So write these things down. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you through it. And then see what he's speaking to your husband at the same time for those of you that are married. And then the other thing to consider, what are some of the mighty things he's done in your life? Mm-hmm.